Now, a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago, the Jews there tried to stone you, and yet you're going back?" Jesus answered, "Are there 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they see by this world's light. It is when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light." After he had said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Then Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him."
Jesus comforts his sisters. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she told him. "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world." And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odour, for he has been there for 4 days. Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing there, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped up with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go."
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for reading that through, Rootkin Clan. Thank you very much. We are running slightly later today at the moment, so what we'll do is we'll explore this passage together, we'll pray, and then we'll finish the service there. Why don't we just pray quickly now as we start. Father, I pray that you would help us to understand your words, that you would help us to understand and see you as glorious, that we may believe in your name. Amen. Dr. Alexander McLaren was a famous preacher, and he used to tell of a man of great intelligence that he longed to be a part of God's kingdom. To do so, he preached a whole series of sermons dealing with intellectual difficulties with the Christian faith. And to the doctor's delight, the man came shortly afterwards and said he'd become a convinced Christian, and he wanted to join the church. Now, overjoyed, the pastor said, "Which of my sermons was it that removed your doubts?" "Your sermons?" said the man. "It wasn't any of your sermons. The thing that set me thinking was that woman who came out of your church beside me and stumbled on the steps. When I put my hand out to help her, she smiled and said, 'Thank you,' and then added, 'Do you love Jesus Christ, my blessed Saviour? He means everything to me.' I did not then, but I thought about it. I found I was on the wrong road. I still have many intellectual difficulties, but now he means everything to me too." Isn't that a great story? The glory of God shared not just by the pulpits, not just by sermons, but on the stairs outside the church. Now, we're exploring John's gospel. We need to remember that why this is written. So in John, right at the end of it, he writes this. He says, "Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." It's life. This book is all about life. And it's given by Jesus. All the way back in chapter 1, we read about Jesus. It says, "In him was light, and that light was the life of all mankind." This book is about life. John chapter 10, the chapter before this one, Jesus said that he came to bring life to those that believe in him. He came to bring life. Life to its fullest. So in these chapters, it shouldn't really surprise us that Jesus can bring people to life. That's what he's promised, right? The big question that we need to ask this morning is why? Why does Jesus give life? What is the point? What does it mean for me, for us as a community? What does he mean by life? Now, I want you to see today that what Jesus tells the crowd in verse 44, what he says to them is a brilliant summary of what he came to do. It says, "The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them," and here it is, "take off the grave clothes and let him go." We'll explore this further, but first let's explore the story to see why this statement is just so exciting. Now, we know who Lazarus is, don't we? Mary, Martha and him were loved by Jesus. So to hear Lazarus is sick, you'd expect Jesus to get up and just run to him, right? Or just heal him on the spot. He was able to do that. He did that previously with others. Here is the one that is both powerful and loving. Yet here is the one who stays where he is another 2 days. More than that, he says in verse 4 that this sickness won't end in death. In fact, it's to God's glory that this is happening, so God's Son could be glorified through it. I don't know what you feel when you read that. For me, I kind of scratched my head a bit and thought, what does Jesus mean? And God's glory is a pretty hard concept for us to wrap our heads around. But it's something that we all want, isn't it? God's glory is his light, it's his power, it's his awesomeness on display. But there is a purpose to it. God's glory is shown to humanity for our benefit. I mean, you look down at verse 14, he says, "So then he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. But for your sake, I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe. Let's go to him." Do you see, God's glory is going to be shown for the benefit of the people there, so that they may believe. God's glory doesn't force us to believe. It gives us a choice. Jesus here isn't telling them that they must believe. He knows that belief is a choice that they need to make for themselves. Now, just imagine that I purchased a new car, right? There are two ways I can share the glory of my new car, okay? Firstly, I can brag about it. Have you seen my new car? It's got 9 seats. I can fit my family and another family in there. They're all socially distant. It's incredible. It's fully reclining. It's got pearlescent paint on the side, so it looks different in different lights. It runs on pure electricity, unlike the fossil fuel dinosaur burning horror show that you like to drive around. And on top of that, it's got its own Wi-Fi connection, so we can all recline with a 3 fold down televisions, and we can all watch Falcon and the Winter Soldier getting to our destination as it drives and parks by itself. What a car! And that's glory bragging, isn't it? That's not about the car, that's actually about me when I do that. The other way I can talk about it is sharing the glory with you, right? As in you getting involved. So I've just bought a new car. Do you fancy coming and giving it a try? Forget the fact that it does everything by itself. Just, do you want to come and give it a try? Get involved. Get involved with the glory. Do you see the difference? Let's get you involved, and you can make your own choice. You can make your own judgments. Christianity is never forcing the awesomeness of God onto other people. It's about helping people experience the glory of God. It's not about bragging that we know the way, the truth, and the life. It's about helping people experience the glory of God and believe. It's not a one-time acceptance of Christianity, is it? Glory is not about just a one-time thing. Oh, the car's great, yeah. Okay, it's not just about a one-time acceptance. It's about getting in and driving it. It's about belief in the glory of God. It's not about just saying yes and then living your life exactly the same as the unbeliever next door. No, when we see God's glory, it has a purpose, and that means something for you and for the rest of your life. Take off the grave clothes and let him go. See, God offered his glory to the Israelite nation. He asked them if they wanted to drive the car, if they wanted to be the glorious nation of Israel, that the other nations would be flocking to, so that they could participate in God's glory, so that they could see this God that was at work in the Israelite nation, that they could join and be a family. Do you want to drive the car, Israel? Sukkot was saying, do you want to get in and drive it? Do you want to see what it's like to be connected with a glorious God? What do they say? Nah, thanks. We'd prefer to build our own car, if that's all right. It's going to be better than this one. Israel pushed God away repeatedly. right up to Jesus's time. And did you notice what doubting Thomas said in verse 16? I mean, it's more like dramatic Thomas in this one. He says, "Let us go that we may die with him." It's almost not, it's like in the Bible, it's almost recorded as an offhand comment, right? That's got huge significance. Thomas is saying to these guys, he recognizes that Jesus is going to go and die if he does this. Don't go there, Jesus. Recently, they were just trying to kill you. Don't go to the one place where they're going to try and kill you again. Let us die that we may go with him. They'd rejected the offer of God's glory so much that they wanted to destroy the source of it. They wanted to destroy the source of God's glory. So these, the Israelite nation that had pushed God away saw Jesus come in his glory and were trying to do the same with him. The most hated Jew goes 2 miles out of Jerusalem, the Jewish capital of the world, so his dear friend could live. But by doing so, he would give his life, take off the grave clothes and let him go. When I lived in a different city to the one we're living in now, it used to be a huge long drive for us to be able to come and see my awesome sister and brother-in-law, and my kids got to see their kids, and it was a wonderful time. But when we left for the journey home, it was a really long journey. We'd all get in the car, we'd all say our goodbyes, and everyone would hug each other, and it was lovely. My daughter would cry for a good 40 minutes in the car. Like a good 40 minute, well, it was a bad 40 minutes in the car, to be honest. It wasn't a good one. She would cry because she felt so much sorrow that the situation had changed. She was with her cousins, but she's not anymore. She was with them having fun, and now she's got a long journey home. She was so sad. But I tell you when she didn't cry. She didn't cry as we were driving up to their house. Right? That would have been really strange. Right? Why are you crying? We're literally 5 meters from their house. Why are you crying now? And we need to ask the same question of Jesus, don't we? Ask the same question. Why are you crying at the graveside of a guy who you know and have said that you're going to raise back to life? Why are you crying? Isn't that weird? Maybe it's the influence of dramatic Thomas. Why are you weeping, Jesus? Well, here's the answer. It's because the most unnatural thing all humans are going to face in their life is death. See, we're led to believe that death is natural, aren't we? We're led to believe that when your energy runs out and your body stops working, hey, it's a natural thing. But humanity was never designed to die. So when God created humanity, he put 2 trees in the garden. Do you remember? Yes, there was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that Adam and Eve ate from, but there was also another tree, and it was the tree of life. See, in fact, once Adam and Eve had eaten from the tree which God had told them not to, God kicks them out of the Garden of Eden and says he must not be allowed to reach out his hand and to take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. See, humanity in relationship with God was supposed to be living forever. Our relationship with the one who gives us life wasn't supposed to end. But when God gives us the ability to love, he gives us the ability to choose. And we chose to walk away from God, and wow, aren't we reminded of that today? I looked it up this week, and I think it's 111,000 dead in England alone. Oh, it's awful. Death is not the natural outcome of life. Death is the natural outcome of sin. See, here Jesus is not crying because of his love for Lazarus. Well, it's not just because of that. His love for humanity is what's making him weep. It's his love for you. It isn't supposed to be like this. Don't ever think that as you are crying over the loss of someone that you love, that God is not right there with you. Jesus is weeping because Lazarus is only wearing what we all wear spiritually. By rejecting God's glory, by sinning, we are putting on grave clothes. By walking away from life, we are choosing death, and it breaks God's heart. See, Jesus wept isn't an interesting verse because it's the shortest verse in the NIV Bible. It's brilliant because it shows God's incredible love for us. How do I know God loves me? Because Jesus wept. But I'm feeling lonely. But how do I know God loves me? It's because Jesus wept. But I'm struggling because I'm single and I'm not married, or I'm married and I wish I was single, or my kids are driving me up the wall, or my job's really hard, or finances are difficult. How do I know God loves me? I know God loves you because Jesus wept. What happens when the glory of God enters this horrific situation? What happens when Jesus shouts, "Lazarus, come out"? See, death is broken and life is given, and Lazarus walks out of the tomb. Oh, what do you think was the reaction of Mary and Martha at that point? What do you think they did as their mourning turned to joy? As their sadness had been taken away, as they participated in the display of the glory of God, what do you think they did? How did you think their hearts felt as they ran towards Lazarus with their hearts exploding and overflowing with thankfulness to God? Take off his grave clothes and let him go. See, Lazarus, when dead, he wasn't free, was he? He was literally the least free he had ever been in his existence. This cold, dark, faceless existence. And yet, when given life, he can do whatever he wants. He could write his biography, Lazarus there and back again. He could sleep in his own bed. He could have dinner parties. He could have been raised. Well, he's been raised to freedom, hasn't he? He's been raised to community, to relationship. He's been raised to a tomb where he walks out to a community of celebrating people. Do you see why death is so wrong and life is so vastly right? Take off his grave clothes and let him go. Take off these restricting, limiting, sadness-inducing grave clothes and let him go to freedom, to choice, to discovery, to enjoyment, to life. Now, what happens to Jesus? Well, the rest of the chapter is all about people hearing about this incident and wanting to arrest and kill him. Now, Jesus knows Lazarus is walking out of his grave only so Jesus can walk into it. It's only Jesus who can give this command, because it is only Jesus who took my grave clothes and put them on himself. It was only Jesus who took the death which I deserved and died instead of me. And so it's only Jesus who can say, take off his grave clothes and let him go. Jesus shows his heart by crying at the graveside, and he shows us his love by going to the cross for us. Why? Well, look at verse 25. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" Do you believe this? Jesus is saying here that death isn't the end, and I can give you eternal life. That's what he's saying. He's saying, I am the source of life that goes on forever. I am the source of where you will find what you were designed to be, which is lasting forever. Now remember here, these things are written that we may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing we may have life in his name. Now my heart leaps when someone becomes a Christian, honestly, because I know that in that moment they walked out of their grave. In that moment Jesus said, take off his grave clothes and let him go. Now, when you believe the good news of Jesus, when you say sorry for sin and accept his forgiveness, when you live your life for him, you participate in the glory of God. Look at verse 40. Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" See, that's a promise. He said, do you believe this? Do you believe in this promise that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? Friends, if you believe, you will see the glory of God. His awesomeness, his power on display. For those of us who believe, what do we do with this? Well, could I ask you right now, to have a think about, could you show ways that you can bring God's glory this week? How you, by faith, can participate in the glory of God and help others to see and feel it too. Now, I don't know what it means for you. Maybe standing by someone who is mourning loss. Maybe it's changing how you interact with your family. Maybe it's picking up the phone and giving someone your time. Maybe it's forgiving a difficult colleague who's messed up again and or has offended lots of people, or whatever it is for you. I don't know. But let's be a church family that together shows the glory of God. Let's build relationships with people. And then if they choose to believe, Jesus will say to them, take off their grave clothes and let them go. If you believe, you will see the glory of God. What an incredible God we have. Well, why don't I pray? Because of time, what we'll do is we'll finish there. But this week, guys, do please, we'll be looking in home groups about what it means to be thinking through glory. How do we participate in that? What does Jesus mean by believe? Those sorts of things. We'll explore the whole thing as we go through and track that. So if you would like to, if you're not part of a home group and you would like to be a part of a home group, then please do get in contact with us. Do email, it'd be lovely to hear from you. But this week, that's what we'll be doing in home groups. So before we do that, why don't I pray, and then we will close our service there. Father, thank you so much that this is not all there is. Thank you that we are not just people who will live and then die in insignificance. But thank you that you are a powerful God who has purpose for us. Thank you that you sent Jesus to die in our place, to take the punishment for the wrong things that we've done, that we can participate in the glory of God, that we can be glory of God displayers. Lord, I pray for wisdom, for great wisdom for our church family this week to know how we interact with others. I pray that we would be people who would be showing God's glory, that we would be relaying Jesus's love for people, that we would see this church family grow with people who have come to realize that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Lord, we pray for all of our unbelieving friends and family. You know our hearts and our minds. You know the people that we are picturing now. Father, those who are dear to us who have not yet found Christ, we pray, we long for you to say to them, take off the grave clothes and let them go. Please, Father, would you work this week? In Jesus' precious name, amen.